Stand with me, if you would, and reverence the Word of God when you find your place there. Amen. God is so good. I'm so thankful. He allows me in His service. Allows me to stumble and bumble along many times. And as we read here in the good Word of God, we certainly acknowledge the kind of God that we serve. Reading here from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. We have this challenge to us where Paul challenges us and says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Without which, no man shall see the Lord. And then turning over to Peter's first letter, the first chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1, and picking up there, reading in verse 13. Where we read that, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Father, we bow before You. Lord, as humbly as we possibly can, realizing that we are indeed creatures of clay, creatures of nothing more than dust. And so, Father, as we approach Your throne, we're asking You in Jesus' name to help us, Lord. As a preacher, I realize that I have nothing for these dear folks unless You be pleased to fill my heart, Lord, with truth. As we approach Your Word, it's our desire to be as honest and as faithful with it as we possibly can. Lord, I'm asking You in Jesus' name to deal with every heart within these walls. I'm asking You, Father, to deal with Christians, believers in Jesus Christ today, that we would understand the importance of this passage. But also, Father, I'm asking You to deal with maybe that heart is here that does not know Jesus Christ, does not have His holiness for themselves. Would You be pleased today to show them that need? Draw them savingly, beautifully, gloriously to Yourself. Lord, again, it's in that name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. And of course, you may be seated. Well, I'll fill you in right up front. This is not the most popular subject to be dealing with. I don't know why. It's certainly biblically, and I pray that it's not the case here in this group today. If we believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that He gave it to us to be our guide for life, then we should have no problem with whatever it instructs us in. The knowledge, again, I understand I'm a pastor. I'm the pastor of Metropolitan Baptist Church, and God holds me accountable and responsible for what goes on, even the spiritual climate of our church. And He compels me to do right. My calling is to preach the whole counsel of God. As Paul instructed Timothy to do that when it's a popular and when it's not popular. We all love preaching that has to do with heaven and eternal life and all the blessings that go along with that. But then when the preaching gets to what some folks describe as meddling. Preacher, you've gone to meddling now. And more than once over the years, talking about this subject of holiness tends to make some folks uncomfortable. Well, beloved, Maybe it makes you uncomfortable for good reason. Maybe we need to give heed to what God said. A simple question. What's Peter's point here? What is he trying to impress upon us? Well, beloved, he's explaining to us what it means to live a holy life. What that means. God tells us, as we read there in Hebrews, that we will not see Him without holiness. Now, it's not any kind of a holiness that I can gender up or produce in and of myself. The only holiness that matters is God's holiness. And we receive that holiness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what God tells us, though, through Hebrews, that holiness is important. Important indeed. It's important for me to understand just what holiness is. Well, what does it mean to live a holy life? And I read this somewhere and I've kind of readapted it for my purposes. But just three statements here and we'll get into the message itself. Holiness, and if you will accept this, I think you understand what I mean by this. Holiness is being on the same page with God. That's only possible for a Christian, by the way. It's only possible for a Christian to be in line with God. Because we come into line with Him when we're saved. When we're justified by faith in Christ. But second statement. A Christian will seek to live as holy a life as a saved sinner can. Let that sink in. A Christian will seek to live as holy a life as a saved sinner can. We'll try to talk about that a little bit. Third and last statement. A person pursuing holiness will desire to be a reflection. Maybe we could use the word, will desire to be a copy of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. Not a Christ, but a reflection of Him. Manifest Him here on this earth. Well, keep those three statements in mind as we go forward. You know, the title of this morning's message might be a little bit, take a little bit of explanation, but I think as we go through, you'll get it. Reporting for duty. Reporting for duty. And as we listen to Peter, we understand that we have a duty to live holy. Amen. To live holy in this world. Be ready for Christ, as verse 13 describes to us. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That seems like kind of a strange statement. You know, and then we see that word, therefore, wherefore. Whenever you see that, go back in the passage and see what the writer was talking about. We go back through the passage and we see that in verse 10, he's talking about this amazing salvation that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. A salvation that the prophets tried to understand and tried to get a handle on. And we see that the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, as it says in verse 11, it was testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ. The prophets had a glimpse, an idea, if you will. But they struggled having the full picture. And then we drop down even to verse 12. It says that even the angels are desire to look into these things. The angels desire to understand this matter of our salvation. And then Peter says, wherefore, because of this. Because of this, he challenges us. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be ready. Be ready. That expression, gird up, means, the literal meaning of it means to tie up. To tie up and be mindful. When Peter was writing to the first century recipients of this letter, they would understand perfectly what he meant by that statement. We know that the general clothing of the day would have been an outer robe that was very long and flowing. That robe was to protect its wearer of the heat of the sun. But it was also would be a problem if you had work to do, if you were trying to move fast or accomplish some kind of a work. So then they would gird that up. They would gather that robe up and they had a sash like belt or girdle, if you will, sometimes as it's called in the scriptures. And they would tuck those robes in. They would gird that in and be ready then for whatever work they needed to do. Well, Peter challenges us here indeed to be mentally ready for Christ. Peter's telling his readers to gird up or prepare your mind for service. Be ready for your service for Christ. Indeed, he tells us to be sober in this. Well, oh my. Be mentally ready. Be sober. Well, what do you think that word means? The word sober here means to abstain from wine. Yeah, that's what it means. Abstain from wine. Peter is challenging us to be self-controlled. Don't allow other things to be in control of our mind, but to be self-controlled and not careless. Careless in any way, allowing other things to control it. We know Paul basically was saying the same thing. And when he wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 5, where he told them, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled or under the control of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Beloved, believers need to maintain their mind in such a way to be ready. To be ready to do whatever God has for us to do. Be ready always, the Bible says, to give an answer to the hope that lies within us. What, again, Peter's saying the same thing. Have your mind prepared. Be prepared. I guess we could adopt that from the Boy Scouts, huh? Be prepared. Be ready. We need to understand, though, from our passage, what true practical holiness is all about. What practical holiness is all about. I want to know. I want to know what kind of person would God consider holy? What kind of person would God consider holy? Who would he call holy? Now, earlier we made that statement that holiness is being on the same page with God. Well, what is that? That means, beloved, living by God's rules. We're living in a generation that doesn't like rules, right? Nobody wants to live by the rules, whether they're mom and dad's rules or the government's rules or whatever rules. Even God's rules. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't like rules either. Get honest with yourself. Do you like it when somebody tells you what to do? I tend to bristle up. Well, being on the same page of God is being ready to do what He wants you to do. Doing what is right. Understanding what is right and wrong. Oh my, in our day we see this all the time. Some brave soul makes a public statement concerning what the Bible says. Oh my. Be careful there. They make a statement concerning what the Bible says or standing up for some biblical standard of simply what's right and wrong. What happens? Immediately, the media begins to blast them. And the activists move in and try to destroy them. How dare they say what's right or wrong? What they're really saying is, how dare you tell me that God says something's right or wrong? It's interesting that those who demand acceptance of their unbiblical beliefs are the first ones that are intolerant of those that takes God's side in those same issues. Yeah. Whose side do you want to be on? You hear me? Whose side do you want to be on? The world's side or God's? You want to be on God's page or the world's page? Today, the world wants us. I don't want to dwell on this. I'll just make one more statement and we'll move on. Today, the world wants us to even think according to their standards. Yeah. How are we as believers to think? How are we as believers to think? I think it's pretty obvious we're supposed to have God's thoughts. The Apostle Paul also wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, what's it say there? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to think like Jesus. That kind of simplifies things. What would Jesus say about this issue or that situation? We're trying to figure out what we should do or not do. What would Jesus tell us? By the way, he's got plenty to say to us. With that, we need to be mentally ready for Christ, but we need to be patiently ready for Christ. What's it say in verse 13? Yes, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, how long am I supposed to stay ready here, preacher? Is 10 years long enough? 20? 30? Hey, is 50 years long enough to just stay faithful? Well, that's admirable. That's a great testimony. But beloved, we need to be patiently ready for Christ, as it says, till He comes. Amen. Till He returns. Are you kidding me, preacher? No. Why? Isn't that what Peter tells us? Hope. Stay faithful. Stay ready to the end, for the grace is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Beloved, don't ever waver in your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and in your walk with Him. Yes. But then not only, yes, are we to be ready for Christ, but we need to be obedient to Christ. What's verse 14 say? As obedient children. As obedient children. You know, God promises a blessing to children that that obey and honor their parents. When I see somebody that's lived well into their 90s, I think, well, they must have been obedient and honored their parents, because God's blessed them with a long life. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says just that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. Amen. Should I say that again, gang? Obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But it goes on. It goes on to say, honor. Honor. What's that mean? This is free for parents. It means saying, yes, sir. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It means, what did you need me to do? It means, I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. And we could go on and on. It means treating your parents with honor, with respect. Now, there comes a time, and this wasn't supposed to be a lesson on raising kids. You know how you raise kids, Dylan? When they're born, you put them in a barrel. When they turn 13, you plug the barrel. There'll come a day when you have to make your own decisions in life. My prayer for the young people of our church is they'll get to that place and they can make proper decisions according to the Word of God for their lives. Stay faithful and true to Him. But when do you no longer honor your parents? No, that time doesn't come. There's a time when you're going to be obedient to your responsibility before God. But that day never comes when you aren't to honor your parents and hold them in that reverence. We went farther there than I was planning to go. You know, I don't know what came of it. Well, let me say this first. We most honor our God. We most honor Him when we follow Him. Might we say, when we are closest to being a reflection or a copy of Him. I was thinking about this, and I don't know where the picture got to, but there was we had a picture. We used to keep it there at the house, and one of my favorite pictures. It was a picture of our three daughters, and they were sitting at the piano, and they'd been. One, I forget which one was playing, and the other ones were, they were just singing some good old songs of Zion, probably out of the hymn book or whatever. And somebody snapped a picture. I don't know who it was, but the angle of the picture kind of got a side view, you know, what do you call it, profile, and of all three girls. And when you looked at that picture, you had to come to the conclusion, those three are sisters. Huh? And along with that, you also had to come to the conclusion, let me say it this way, if their mama would have been sitting there in that picture, you would have known where they got their good looks from. Yeah. For good or bad, get this. For good or bad, children are a reflection of their parents. For the good and bad. Beloved, we have been born again into the family of God. Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Our Father." Isn't that wonderful? Just that truth is wonderful. To be able to address the God of glory as my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, it just blows my mind, but that the Lord Jesus Christ would even, in Hebrews, call us His brethren. Wow. When God saved us, He gave us a new spirit and a new heart. In the prophet Ezekiel, He says in chapter 36 and verse 26, just that. He says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." He says, "I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh," a heart that He can work with. A new spirit, a new heart. We also have a new family, as we mentioned. Jesus Himself instructed us to pray how? Our Father. And again, in Hebrews, I love this. I love this where He said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, He says, saying, "I will declare thy name." This is again the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee." Huh? That Jesus Christ would call us brethren? Wow. Well, why go into all that? Well, because, dear church, we should resemble our Heavenly Father and His Son. Huh? If we're saved, there should be a family resemblance. Does that help us? There should be a family resemblance. And when folks look at us, they should take note of characteristics that remind them of God. Not that we're anything, but they should see a reflection of our Heavenly Father. Yes. Along with that obedience will be obedience in a new life. A new life. What does it say? Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Now think about that. Let it sink in. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. What's he talking about? The old desires. Those old desires, the former desires, when we didn't know the truth. We didn't know the person of truth and we didn't know the word of truth. We were in ignorance. But that supposedly passed away. Paul wrote about that too, didn't he? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what kind of a creature? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old what? Are Paul and Peter saying the same thing to us? Not fashion yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. The desire of my heart and spirit should be greatly changed when I get saved. Did you notice that when you got saved? You wanted different things. You had a desire for different things than you did before you were saved. Those former things are passed away. And so with that then, hopefully we get to the place where we can better understand that God is calling upon us to be holy as Christ was holy. To be holy like Christ. Not that we are Christ, but like Christ. Amen. We read about that in verses 15 and 16. He says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Who is the great I am? Jesus Christ. He is the great I am. What do we know about the character of Jesus Christ? What do we know about His character? Well, we know He was sinless. He was sinless. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, it says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. The Apostle John wrote about this, where he wrote in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, where he says, and you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. He's sinless. He's sinless. Well, He's also pure. I'm trying to set us up for something, so please get this. He's sinless. He's pure. In the third verse of the third chapter of 1 John, it says this, and every man that hath this hope in him. What hope? The hope of eternal life in Christ. A hope of salvation. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as, or in the same way, as he, Jesus Christ, is pure. He's pure, he's sinless. That word pure in the verse means to be innocent. Wow. It means to be innocent, modest, clean. It's interesting. But the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed all of that. And of course, it's not talking here about physical cleanliness, and though those around us appreciate it when we stay clean. John is talking about moral cleanliness. A moral cleanliness. Does our moral character reflect the Lord Jesus Christ? Sinless? No, I'm not sinless. I'm a saved sinner that desires to be as holy as I can be. As I humanly can be. Does our moral character honor and reflect our God? Well, in what area, preacher? What does it say there again? So be ye holy in, well, all manner of conversation. That word conversation is just talking about our behavior. Every area of our behavior. Wow. Holiness. Holiness should show up everywhere in our lives. I want to do something that I don't usually do. I don't normally do this. Try to stay away from this. But I'm going to throw out some general, we'll say, examples for us. Some general examples. First of all, this is where it needs to start here. Holiness should show up in our thinking. Holiness should show up in our, what do you say? In all manner of a conversation, in every area of our behavior, every area of our life. Holiness should show up in our thinking. Whose mind are we to have? The mind of Christ. Well, what should we be thinking about? Glad you asked that question. The Bible tells us what we should be thinking about. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, the Apostle Paul is writing about this very thing. And he says, finally, brethren, typical Baptist, he had the Baptist preacher, he had a lot more to say. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, you're going to hear some things that are kind of similar to what we've already been mentioning. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The Bible tells us what we should be thinking about. Those, beloved, are godly thoughts. You know what the word godly means in the Bible, in the New Testament? It's simply godly or godlike. Those are godly thoughts. You don't have to do it right now, but go back and look through each and every one of those words. There, each and one of those truths were personified by Jesus Christ. He lived all those things out before his followers. Huh? Indeed, let this mind be in you. Holiness should show up in our thinking. Yeah, but I guess secondly, if it shows up in our thinking, it's going to show up in our language. How we talk. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. What's it say there? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of the mouth. You know what the word corrupt communication is? Rotten words. Real simple. Rotten words shouldn't cross these lips. Of course, if we're thinking right, we'll probably talk right. Yeah. Holiness should show up in our language. Holiness should show up in our interest. The things that we're interested in. Paul wrote to the Colossian church, and it wrote right down this line, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. If then ye be risen with Christ. Are you alive in Jesus?
Amen.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. What you're interested in. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, again, that goes back to our thinking. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. And we've all got hobbies and things and different things we like to do. And I'm not trying to say throw all those things away. But whatever we're interested in should be something that honors God.
Amen.
It does not dishonor Him. Yes, indeed. Holiness should show up in our interests. Now, I'm going to look closer to the vest. Holiness should show up, as it says, in our behavior. In our behavior. All manner of conversation. Talks about every area of our life. Holiness Am I meddling yet? I'm trying to. Again, this is a sure place for a preacher to get in trouble, so most of us don't say anything to the detriment of their churches. And I don't, and get me, understand this, it's not my desire in any way to tell people how to dress. I ain't going there. Of course, there's an exception. If it's something going on this platform, that's a whole different place. I remember preaching in India. It was in an outdoor setting in a garden. And the pastor of this little church there, he came up to me and he says, "Preacher, when you go up to the platform, take your shoes off." Now, again, when you're in India, you go into the house, you go into the church, you take your shoes off. But his explanation to me concerning going up to that platform to preach the Word of God, he says, "Pastor, I just want you to understand, we consider that a holy place." That stuck with me all these years. That's been 25 years ago. Huh? Why? Why? Because this is where holy business is done. Oh, wow. We need to be mindful of this matter of holiness every morning when we put our clothes on. When we get dressed. Please understand, again, do we have to preach both sides of this thing? I'm not telling ladies to put their hair in a bun on top of their head, and I'm not telling the guys they've got to wear white long sleeve shirts and black pants and Oxford shoes, you know. If you want to do that, go ahead. That's okay. That's fine. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about what honors God. Even in this matter of how we dress. Here's a question for you. Am I dressing to please myself? Or am I dressing to honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's make it short. Am I dressing to draw attention to myself? Or am I dressing to try to honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Fifthly, holiness should show up in our entertainments. See, I told you I was going to meddle for a while. Holiness should show up in our entertainments. What do you watch on television? What kind of websites are you visiting? Are you finding yourself on websites or simply not holy places? Let me ask you this. Here's another simple thing. Could you invite the Lord Jesus Christ to watch TV with you? Would you ask Him to help you with them Google searches? Simple. Does it honor the Lord, doesn't it? What Psalm 101 verse 3 said? Say? David declared, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." Pretty simple. Now again, I'm sure I could go on, but I think we get the idea, right? What did he say again? "So be ye holy, be ye consecrated to God," in what areas? All. In all manner of conversation. In every area of your life. Well, why? What's the big deal? Well, Peter's going to tell us why. He makes this challenge to us. He says, "Be ye holy." What's he say? "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Why? Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." God wants us to be a holy people because He's a holy God. Because He is a holy God. Now again, in that verse, Peter is quoting from the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 44. Why is it so important? Why is it such an issue? Beloved, be mindful. I want to claim the name of Jesus. I call myself a believer in Christ. A Christian. Huh? We understand that that was originally a name of derision on believers. Huh? Oh, those Christians. Or little Christ. Those Christ-like ones is what the word means. Hallelujah. I'll take that. Do they, out at the job, do they call you Deacon so-and-so? Preacher? Hey, preacher! Of course, they say it what? In derision. Wear it for God's honor. I used to hear that. Hey, here comes Deacon Jim. Be careful of the jokes now. Hey, I was thankful. What did Jesus tell us in the Sermon on the Mount? To be light and salt.
That's right.
Hallelujah. If it was going to shut their filthy mouths up, good. We shouldn't feel guilty about that, should we? No. Why? Because we are to be a reflection of Christ.
Amen.
We are to be a reflection of God. Hey, in all manner of conversation is to reflect Him. The people look at us. Oh yeah, they might not understand it, but they know there's something different going on. In your life is to be that reflection. Because the day will come when they'll want to know. How many times has that happened? Huh? And they get in trouble, or there's something happened in the family. One of the kids are sick or something else. They don't go to their drinking buddies on that day. They go to you. They want you to pray for their wife or their kid or their dad or their mom. And then you have that great opportunity to represent Christ. To represent the Lord Jesus Christ at that place. Well, will this pursuit, this desire for holiness save me? No. No. We understand that. We're not saved by works. No, I've got to have the perfect holiness of Christ.
Amen.
And we receive that through faith in Him.
That's right.
Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me, yes. I receive that holiness by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. But the other side of that is that only a saved person has even the capability of living a holy life. Only a saved person can rightly pursue holiness. Pursuing that holiness is our call to duty, as we read from the Apostle Peter. Practical holiness. This practical holiness that Peter's talking about comes as a result of knowing Christ. Because I know Him. Because Christ lives in me. Because I'm as best as this saved sinner can want to reflect Him. So I desire to be holy as He is holy. Yes, indeed, this practical, I call it a practical holiness because it's supposed to apply to every area of our life. It's not just some idea or a philosophy, but it's the outworking of our life. Indeed. It's a grace. It's a result of that grace of God that was worked in our hearts and lives. And so as best I can, as best as God has enabled me to do, I'm reporting for duty. Lord, use me. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You for our Savior. Indeed, the One who died to make us holy.
Amen.
holy before You. Lord, we hear from You today, and it's a strong word to us. It's a challenge to what we are by nature in this old flesh. Well, Lord, I pray that it's the desire of the heart of every believer, every Christian in this room, that we will serve You, honor You. That it's our desire to live that holy life that will exalt and magnify our Savior, our God. And so, Lord, today, please, deal with every heart. Lord, I don't know. There quite possibly someone in this room today that needs Jesus Christ as their Savior. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. Might they see Jesus. Might they desire Him. And would You be pleased to a beautiful work of Your grace. In Christ's name, we ask it. Amen. And amen, Brother John. As we sing, beloved, join these ones at the altar. Pray that the Lord be pleased to speak to our hearts.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art Oh.
two young ladies presenting themselves this morning for baptism. And of course, as they're baptized, we'll receive them into the membership of Metropolitan Baptist Church. And this is Kaylee Black. And Kaylee, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
And it's your desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church. Yes, okay. And Gracie, you get saved individually, so we ask you individually. Gracie, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And is that a yes? Yeah, I knew it was, but I just wanted them to be able to see that. And it's your desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and become a member of Metropolitan Baptist Church. Is that right? Okay. She's a little nervous. It's okay. All right, church. Talked to these two young ladies, I guess it was last week, and they both make a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's their desire to, in obedience, follow the Lord in baptism. So, church, all in favor of receiving Gracie, or Kaylee and Gracie, on their statement of faith and their desire to be baptized and become members of Metropolitan Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
Opposed, the same sign. And so ordered. Well, Mom, you're probably going to want to take some pictures.
Oh, yeah.
So, Marcia, would you walk back with the girls to the changing room so they can get ready? And I'll get ready, and we'll meet up there. Okay. All right. You can go with Miss Marcia over here. All right. Brother John?
I'm seated, but let's turn to page 224. Pastor is speaking about holiness. Let's sing Holy, Holy, Holy. He is thrice holy, amen. We serve a holy God.
Holy, holy, holy.
Oh.
Let's sing another real quick. 91.
This is a crazy convention from a moment ago, and as they present themselves for believers' baptism today, they understand, as we explained to them, that baptism doesn't add anything to their salvation. When they receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saved. They're going to be. And what they're doing today is an act of obedience. We're commanded to be baptized. We follow the Lord in believers' baptism as an act of, again, as we said, obedience to Him, but also in identifying what the Lord Jesus Christ is. To see they're joined with John the Baptist at the River Jordan, and as he was baptized, we identify with him in our baptism. Okay, we're going to start with Katie. Okay, you sit right there, Grace. And here you sit over here. Okay, there you are, sweetheart. And so, you're mine, sweetheart. You're going to want to talk like this and then you know what that is. Okay. Katie, on your profession of faith, of course, let me ask you once again, before the Lord, you have received Christ as your Savior.
Yes.
It's your desire to follow the Lord now in believers' baptism.
Yes.
Amen. Okay. Kaylee, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Bearing in the likeness of his death, saved in the likeness of his resurrection.
Let's stand and we'll be dismissed with our course. When we see Christ, it will be what?